Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we'll be looking at the epistle reading from 1 Peter. Here, Peter encourages us to be bold in making our confession of the hope that we have, even in the face of suffering and persecution. I want us to concentrate on three things that we receive in our baptism that make this possible: salvation, a good conscience, and the Spirit of truth. Let's pray. Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and the comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Water, a life-giving substance, essential to every living being. It makes up some 70% of the surface of the earth, some 60% of our bodies. It makes alive, but it is also dangerous, claiming many lives who have succumbed to its power. It washes and it nourishes, but it also drowns. And in baptism, it now saves you. Peter links the waters of baptism to those of the flood, that through the water Noah and his family were saved. We might think that the ark is what delivered Noah and his family, that they were saved from the water whilst safely held in the ark. But remember what the water of the flood did. It wiped out the wickedness and depravity of the earth, leaving in its wake a new, or perhaps renewed, earth, a new creation. Peter says that this is now the experience that we have in our baptism. The sinful nature that we are born with, along with its evil thoughts, desires, and actions, is washed away in the water of the font. In its place, a new creation rises. This is not just a regular washing, a removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear or good conscience toward God. The ESV translates this as an appeal to God for a good conscience. This pledge comes from God. He pledges to give us a good conscience toward him, part of the new creation that he makes us through the drowning of our old nature. In giving us the gift of faith, God takes our hearts that were focused on ourselves and turns them towards him. Notice that Peter reminds us that our baptism saves us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. None of this is detached from Christ and what he accomplished for us through his life, death, resurrection, and ascension. Indeed, Paul teaches us in Romans 6 that in our baptism we are united to Christ's death and resurrection, in order that we too may walk in a newness of life. This newness of life responds to God's gifts and appeals to him to keep us in the good conscience that he grants us. So what is this good conscience? Generally, we use this kind of language to talk about how justified we feel or how innocent we are of wrongdoing. For instance, we could say something like, we can't do something in good conscience because we feel that it is the wrong thing to do. Or conversely, we can say, we can do something in good conscience because it is right. This is part of what Peter is getting at, but it's not the whole story. Our good conscience towards God does not come from the way we feel before him. If you're like me, sometimes you feel that you have anything but a good conscience before God. Satan is awfully good at reminding us of all the different ways that we've let God down in our lives, and he desperately wants us to believe that we can't stand before the Lord in good conscience. Of course, as the father of lies, this is just another of his half-truths. Certainly, we are sinners and deserve God's eternal judgment, but God has washed that sin and the sentence it deserves away. He has given us a good standing before him, not because of what we've done or committed to do, but because of what Christ has done for us, which we are joined to in the waters of our baptism. We will often be tempted to forget this reality, to listen to the lies of the accuser, to shy away from our God. We tend to think we need to ensure that our conscience is in keeping with God's expectations. Truth is, we can't by our own power. It is only the gift of God to turn our hearts of stone into hearts of flesh that keeps our conscience clear before him. And he doesn't just do it in our baptism and then leave us to our own devices. Rather, as we daily turn to him in contrition and faith, he renews his promises to us. We heard one of those promises in the Gospel reading, where Christ promised that he would not leave us as orphans, but give us another advocate and helper, the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit, who brought Christ from death to life, comes and lives within us through the waters of our baptism, and he is not passive. Part of our good conscience are his efforts on our behalf to transform us more and more into an image of Christ. Indeed, it is the peace and joy that he brings us, even in the midst of suffering or persecution, that enables us to speak of the hope that we have within us. And this is at the heart of Peter's message to us today. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope you have, he writes. Peter was writing to a people constantly facing persecution and suffering for what they believed. It would be easy to become timid in such circumstances. To look at ways to practice the faith without bringing too much attention to yourself. Instead, Peter calls us to be bold in our witness, to always be ready to give it. Thankfully, we are not in such a climate and can practice our faith with relative freedom and security. Yet I can't help but wonder if we are a bit timid at times and look for ways to follow Christ without standing out in a crowd, even though all we really face is a bit of ridicule or disdain. There is an underlying assumption in what Peter writes that people will see the way that we live as Christians as being different and want to know why. I know that this hasn't always been the case for me. I often wonder if I'm doing a good enough job of witnessing to the hope that I have. I recall times in my past where I've been afraid to speak out. A situation where someone was ridiculing Christianity, and in order not to be seen in the same light, I would remain silent. Or times where I have even felt embarrassed to be a Christian, particularly in a group of people I thought might ostracize me if they knew my faith. It's helpful here to remember what a witness is. Someone called to testify to what they have seen or heard. We're not called to try to make an eloquent defense of God and his work, or to tell wonderful stories that aim to convince people of his character. We are simply to tell what we know. We're called to defend the hope within us. This is an intimate thing. It springs from the heart. We aren't able to witness to that hope if we're feeling hopeless. We can't share the good news that the Lord has revealed to us when we're living in fear of whether we've ever done enough. And the beauty is, we don't need to. The Holy Spirit guides us in all truth. And the truth is, you have hope. Christ has done enough. In fact, he has paid it all. It is this beautiful truth, the wonderful gospel, that we are to share with others. We don't need to fear if they think we're crazy or want to ostracize us. In fact, Peter says this makes us blessed. When we fully understand that hope, the knowledge that we have been saved by grace through faith, adopted into God's family, washed clean of all our guilt and shame, that is when our witness is most powerful. And do you know what? That's exactly the hope that you have. You may not always feel that hopeful. In fact, sometimes you might feel downright miserable. But the promise of God remains. You are saved. And this is the truth that the Holy Spirit seeks to lead you into. Christ died and rose for you, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. That's not just good news, that's the best news ever. Dwell in that thought. Continually remember just what God has done for you and how you now stand before him. It is only in that truth that we have any hope at all. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.